Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Swing for the fences with the Fence Authority. They've been providing the Delaware Valley with fences for almost three decades. With four stores throughout the region and one of the largest inventories of wood, vinyl, and aluminum fencing, the Fence Authority makes your next fence as easy as one, two, three. Do it yourself or get it installed with the best workmanship warranties in the country. So swing for the fences at the Fence Authority. Your new fence is waiting at fenceauthority.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Florida plays Auburn. Duke plays Houston. Florida Auburn, right? Carlin conference rivalry. They played twice. Right. I can do this. Florida Auburn. Duke, Houston. The map.
That's right.
The country wants Houston because they're playing Duke.
You're the one bringing it back up, so I guess I'll pick at you a little. We talked to Carlin Hartman, your friend.
I know, but not about Auburn, really. For a minute,
I mentioned that they conference. Yeah, right. So I can't believe that, you know, here 2 or 3 days later that you botched that.
I don't know.
That's all right.
UB plays Troy. The WNIT, I didn't ever know that that existed until this year, but it goes back to 1998. In fact, I think 94 for it as a preseason event. There's both a preseason and a postseason WNIT. So good luck to UB.
Yeah, tomorrow 6 o'clock, and yeah, they get to host the game. That's pretty awesome.
Yep. Sal Capaccio now on the West Her Hotline. Happy birthday, Sal.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Great day for it, obviously, out at the stadium. By the way, real quickly, just correction. So people don't show up late, it is 5 p.m. tomorrow at UB at Alumni Arena.
Oh, thank you. Knows. Sorry. Yes, good.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay. 5 p.m. at Alumni Arena tomorrow. Yeah, the WNIT. I would say, too, I'm thinking about this schedule tomorrow for the Final Four. I don't know. I mean, wouldn't Florida Auburn sound like it's the better game than Houston Duke? Maybe not, because that's going to be the early game. A lot of times they just do it on, you know, the better game. But Duke, I guess, is the bigger draw than anyone in this field. I guess you could have done anything, but it is Florida Auburn first and then Houston Duke.
I think by far Duke would be the
most
reason.
Famous team. Yeah. You know,
that's probably. Why, right? Yeah. Still, I think you're right now.
Still so late.
Yeah.
Still so late. Anyway, old man complaint. Sal, what was it like out there today?
It was cool for me personally to see something I had never been a part of, never witnessed. I'm not in the construction business. For a couple of years of my life when I was younger, I did work a little construction in the summer during college, but we went the other way. I was like helping to pour walls, like foundations, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Something like this with something going up a structure like that and being a part of that and watching that was really unique and cool for me. I'd never experienced it. I said to somebody, it's kind of the opposite of the ball dropping on New Year's Eve because you're taking something going from the ground all the way up and putting it in and say, okay, we're here, right? And then, you know, I guess it didn't dawn on me or hit me how big of a deal it was for the Bills and the NFL and the league. I knew it was for the Bills, but the NFL and everything until you got there and saw so many people and dignitaries of the league, including Roger Goodell. And obviously the governor was there and, you know, you'd expect the county commissioner and people from the city and the county. But that kind of put it a little bit more in perspective and holy cow, guys, I mean, the workers, thousands of workers, and, you know, hats off to them, no pun intended, with their construction hats. But, you know, just to see all of them out there in their, you know, bright uniforms, you know, that they work when they're on the site was just really cool as well.
Yeah, nothing surprising about the politicians being there. And, of course, the workers are on site. I was surprised about Goodell, but I have to admit, I'm not one who's paying attention to any team's stadium construction and when they would have this sort of ceremony for, you know, the last piece of steel going in. I have no idea if Goodell has been in other venues for this. Like, was he in California when SoFi got finished?
Probably.
But I would guess probably is the answer. But, you know, there is a special tie that he has to the area, having been from having grown up in Jamestown. So, yeah, I don't know if that matters. But, yeah, I was surprised that it was as big a deal. I'd been hearing, I know I saw Picoelli tweeting about that there was something happening today, but I had no idea it was going to be this spectacle that it turned out to be.
Listen, let me tell you something. When I went to the owners' meetings last week, I had my one-on-one with Pete Gwelly, and that's when he first said, hey, we're going to have a topping out ceremony on April 4th. And I'm like, oh, and he explained what that was. That's the first I had heard of it. I didn't know. Yeah. And then this kind of percolated this week. And then somebody from the NFL said to me, hey, you're going to be there on Friday? And I'm thinking, yeah, I'll be there. Like, are you going to be there? I didn't know. This was during the owners' meetings. And then as the week went on and we learned, you know, from the Bills, hey, we're having, you know, this ceremony. I guess maybe you just want to make sure everything stays on schedule before you totally put something like that out there, right? I guess that would be maybe part of the reason why. But it was out there. You know, Goodell, you know, you're right, the tie to the area and, you know, him, I think he was a pretty big driving force here along with Kim and Terry. And I think this is kind of something that, you know, he's been a part of since the beginning. Not that he isn't in other markets. I get a sense, though, that he might have been closer to this actual project, not just because of he's from this area, but even closer to this project than he might have been with other teams, because I think Buffalo was unique because, you know, for so many years, and I've said this many times today, as you guys know, you grew up the same way, hearing this team's going to leave, Ralph's going to sell the team, the stadium, they're never going to be able to do this. And I think that you know, Roger Goodell was a big part of, once Terry Pegula took over in 2014, he was a big part of doing that. So, yeah, I thought that as well. I asked Roger Goodell once, by the way. I just want you to know, I always wonder. I said, hey, I know your dad was, you know, his dad took over for Robert F. Kennedy after Robert F. Kennedy was assassinated. I don't know if people know that story. His dad was a New York State Assemblyman and became the senator. And I said, is Goodell Street in Buffalo named after your family? And surprisingly, he told me no, he doesn't think it is. I didn't know. He said it goes back longer than that, obviously, but I didn't know that. But, you know, it's just kind of interesting that that's the case, too.
Yeah, it really is something. Like, thinking about his role in this, mostly my feeling whenever I heard Goodell talk about a future Bills stadium, I felt threatened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and like to be here with him there for that it's actually happening, you know, is really quite something.
And maybe it was threatening back before Terry and Kim took over. And then maybe we got in a little bit of a funky spot for a year or so you know, before it was actually built. When I will tell you this, guys, when Terry and Kim bought the team in 2014, I had plenty of conversations with Kim about this. And she told me a couple things, you know, and first of all, she's just assured, like, well, we're going to get this done. Like, you know, obviously it's going to take a lot, but we're going to do it. You know, we're not worried about it right now. We're just kind of, we got a lot of other things we have to take care of. We're going to get this done. So once that happened, it was a little more putting me at ease, but she was the first person that I'd heard say, Kim told me this years ago that, you know, when we do it, Sal, it'll be like 60 to 65,000 seats. I'm like, well, why would you take so many seats away? And she was the first one. I give her so much credit. She said, look where this league is going. Like, you could stay at home and you can watch Sunday Ticket. You can do your gambling. You can do all that stuff. We need to give people a reason to go to the games. So what we have to do is concentrate on the amenities inside the stadium. Not as many people going, but when you get there, you have a great experience. And I give Kim a lot of credit for having that foresight.
Got to at least mention also Governor Hochul in this too. Having the good fortune, I would say, in Western New York to have her in the seat probably made a difference, maybe a massive difference in, you know, this coming to fruition. I find it all basically saying, echoing what you guys are saying, mostly surreal that it is, that it's real, that it's actually there. That would have been, I think, what I would have been thinking had it been out there today. I mean, I've seen it like you guys have, you know, you drive by it and like, okay, this is happening. This is really happening. You go to that stadium experience and just sort of like, it's a fantasy. Now that's happening 2026. Everything's on time, and the current stadium is going down. Pete told Sal the following March.
That's right. He told me that when I talked to him at the owners' meetings. That was kind of reiterated today by a couple of people. that stadium will stay up through the first season of Bills football. Now, granted, you know, it's not going to be used for Bills football, but a couple of things. Number one, I would assume you'd want that stadium up in case, you know, there are any hiccups or anything. Like, at least you have a stadium there.
Right, don't wreck it before the other one's fully functional.
right.
Yeah, right.
But the other thing that people have to understand is, outside of that stadium, the Bills' offices, the field house, the practice facility, that's all staying where it is. They're not moving that across the street. Right, that's all brand new. Like, they're going to have everything set up and still do everything Monday through Saturday, essentially, across the street where it currently is. There's no reason to do anything different. And then on game day, you know, you play inside the stadium. No different than a lot of teams in the league do, basically.
Sal, forgive me, because I was away when you had the chance to talk to Pete Gowelli about all this stuff. Have they talked at all, has he talked at all to you or anyone else in general, about what sort of plans there might be for the opening of the new stadium? Like, will there be something before a Bills game?
Yeah.
You know, like when the arena opened, I think the Goo Goo Dolls played before there was a hockey game in there. Or maybe I've got that mixed up and they played at the Odd before the Odd got torn. Anyway, whatever it is. Because I saw Brian Mazurowski from our News Radio 930 this morning had, I thought, a great idea. Like a weekend festival, if both stadiums are still standing, have something in the old stadium and then the next night have another show in the new stadium.
It's a great question. It's partly Brian's answer is partly spurred on by what Pete Gowelli did tell me, which is what he said was they don't want to go into the new stadium for the Bills game cold. They just want to walk in there and run an NFL game. You got to work out some kinks, like a soft opening.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have something or some things planned starting in July of 27 right now. What that is, we don't know. They have ideas. He didn't disclose those to me. I still think they're figuring that out. So what's happened, Bulldog, when you were away, a lot of people had some fun with this, right? When I tweeted that out, it's like, okay, let's see what creativity we can have here. What are we doing in the new stadium? Are you going to have a concert? Who is it going to be? What's the best thing to do? Are you going to play soccer there? Are you going to play lacrosse there? All of these things can be on the table for sure. Are we doing a monster truck? I don't think so. Even a concert would have effect on the field, right?
Yep.
I mean, are you going to actually do that to this brand new pristine field you're putting in? Or I don't know how all this is going to work. So there's been a lot of ideas out there. You know, it's funny that some of the ideas are great, and they would say, well, you got to have an act that's a great act. And I'm like, I don't know if you have to. And I would say, to me, what you said about the Goo Goo Dolls, I go, what about a local group that really people are going to buy tickets to go to the stadium, not necessarily see the group or the band?
Yeah.
Sure, you want a big name. That would fit for me. I think of anything local. I don't know. Maybe a concert. But he didn't say specifically, but it's a great question because everybody's having a little bit of their own creativity with this.
Right. You can go a lot of different ways. You could go for the big marquee act and charge $300 right. bucks for tickets, or you could go with your idea, like you said, someone smaller, maybe even local, like you said, and you know, get 60,000 people to pay $20 to come out there and just like be a part of it. Like that would be kind of cool.
No doubt. And I would anticipate, he didn't tell me this for sure, but just from talking to people,
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I would anticipate that season ticket holders will have an ability at some point to go in and have something where they're going to see things, get the lay of the land before they go into the stadium. I think all of that is kind of being discussed. Yeah. The other thing that was discussed about this is what to do with the surrounding area of the stadium. They have their vision there too. Now they own the ECC, old ECC property, which is right there. And I, Mark Poloncarz said today what he would like to see is some sort of entertainment district around mm-hmm. there. So obviously there's some thoughts there as well, like what to do around the area. I mean, I don't know what is ultimately going to happen, but I do think that people are coming together. And I'll tell you, there, you know the way this works, guys, right? There's all different government entities, right? You have the state, you have the county, you have Orchard Park, and then they're close to other proximities to places and things like that. So everybody's kind of got to get together to figure this out. But I will tell you, just from the conversations I had with people today, like those conversations are happening.
Yeah. You know what I like about what you said about the fans getting a chance to get in there at some point, whether it's an event or not? It reminds me of what you've always said about McDermott and the blue-white-blue-red scrimmage, right? Get the players in there. They let them, if they want to brush their teeth, they know where to go do that. Like, just get them familiar with the surroundings. The fans kind of need the same privilege, I guess, right? New surroundings.
I would think so. Yeah. Listen, I talked, you guys can, I think we probably have the sound at WGR550.com. I talked with Chris Brown about this today, and I walked up to Chris. Chris was looking up, and I said, all right, Chris Brown, are you looking at where you're going to be calling the game from the radio booth? And he said, yeah, and he has been involved in some of those discussions and kind of asked those questions, right? And he actually gave some detail about what that's going to look like. So everybody's got a stake in this, whether it's a season ticket holder, a worker, you know, me on the field. At some point, I'd mm-hmm. like to see, where am I going? Where's the locker room? How do I get to the field from here, right? All of those things have to happen at some point.
We can talk about this later some more. I think it's interesting. I do think it's a kind of a tough needle to thread. What that event would be. It can't just be anything. And people are going to want to go there, and it's got to measure up to the occasion of the opening of the stadium. It's the first thing. It can't be just, you know, I love our February fixed draft, Sal. It can't be the February fixed draft. Like, you know, if they wanted us for the first day, we'd move it to July. I think that we'd all agree on that. But it's got to be... I wonder if lacrosse really is viable. Like, that's the PLL season is right there, and they move those games around every weekend. I mean, Albany is New York's city for that league. Mm-hmm. New York Atlas is the name of the team, but come on, like, this is a pretty cool opportunity if it were available. Soccer seems kind of obvious too, if there were some friendly or some MLS. Mm-hmm. Those I think would be my two top guesses. For it, but you know, we've got some time.
I would guess concert more than a sporting event myself. Okay. But Sal makes a good point about the, you know, the, I don't know what sort of problems that could present, but I know they're planning on using that venue for concerts at some point, right? I mean, it's part of the reason they wanted to do what they're doing.
This is July of 2026, by the way, we're talking about, or even June, I suppose, but before the Bills move in. Yesterday, you had the dates for the off-season program. Mm-hmm. Of course, still one more year in the current stadium. And stuff happens as soon as 2 weeks from Monday.
April 21 is the first day of off-season workouts. If you have a new coach, you're allowed to begin earlier than that. I think you're the 7th or the 14th. Either way, then teams with returning coaches, they can begin later. April 21st for the Bills, they will have their OTAs the end of May for 3 days, and then the beginning of June the following week for 4 days, and then a mandatory mini camp wraps everything up June 10 through 12. I do think it's interesting, and I want to point out, I don't know the answer to this. I didn't talk to anybody yet because this happened yesterday with the schedule. This is the first time I can remember the Bills only having 2 weeks of OTAs. They normally have three. Now, you can also have a voluntary veteran mini camp or an OTA. Like, you can do one or the other, but either way, it doesn't matter. They're not doing that extra week. You get 9 weeks from the start of your program to the end of your program. You get 9 weeks. The Bills generally take those 9 weeks. They're only doing 8 this year. And I don't know what the reasoning is, but they only have 2 OTA weeks, May 27th through 29, June 2nd, 3rd, and 5th. So 2 weeks of 3 days.
They want to minimize the fines to James Cook. That's why they're eliminated.
Other people tweeted the same thing.
Oh, really? Sorry. I'm such a hack.
Good one, Bulldog.
Actually, no. I shouldn't say that. I got a couple texts about that. That's what I said. But my friends right. having fun.
Well, that's a big that's difference then.
I wanted to yes, your friends right. rather yes. than just like, to
yeah,
you know,
random tweets. I didn't bring it up on social media, but somebody did text right. me. One of our media colleagues texted me, hey, did you find this weird? I'm like, oh, yeah. And then someone else did. So that was funny.
I wouldn't expect that you've had a chance to talk to anybody over there about the Hard Knocks possibility. But how do you feel about the possibility that the Bills could end up on Hard Knocks?
I have not yet. A lot of the stuff came out last week when we were at the owners' meetings and some of the changes, I guess.
I could see it.
I don't think the Bills would ever really want to do that. The Bills really like doing the red and blue stuff.
Right, their own
the
stuff.
The embedded. Right. Yeah, they're the embedded. And they have a lot of, there's good access there. And I think they feel very comfortable doing that. You know, look, I think for the Bills or anybody, you saw what happened last year mm-hmm. with the New York Giants too, right? And whether it's the offseason or the in-season, you just want to be aware and know that it can go really off the rails. Even if it's unintended and you have the best intentions, they really like doing. I think, if I remember right, I think Brandon Bean was asked about it at some point recently. Maybe it was the end of your press conference, and he mentioned the embedded and how that's a really good opportunity for them to do those kinds of things.
Nobody wants to do Hard
right,
Knocks,
right, but somebody no. has to, right? Like, that's the point. Yeah. Somebody's going to get strong-armed into doing
They've
it,
never
even if they
been
don't
on.
Want to.
It's been many years. They've never been on. There's, like, multiple Hard Knocks now. So the stadium storyline is an interesting added piece, too.
The MVP Allen, quarterback, right?
I could see it. I would think that they'd be. It's always about how the Bills are a popular team, you know, TV
and look,
primetime schedule.
We'll see how it all comes together when that production, whoever is featured in it, you know, gets off the ground. But I would bet, Sal, that what happened to Joe Shane and the Giants this past summer means teams are going to have way more say so about what gets on the air and what doesn't. And I think maybe, in a way, as interesting as it was and as much as it got played up, it could be the thing that kills Hard Knocks. Because what mm-hmm. makes it interesting is stuff that is, well, interesting that happens or controversial. And the more control the people involved have, the you know, the subjects of the documentary, the less that's likely to happen, you know? So I wouldn't expect that whatever form it takes and whoever ends up being on it, I would doubt that there ends up being any kind of a smoking gun that could come back to make someone look ridiculous because of what happened to the Giants.
You're probably right about that. I think that's right. We'll see. I will tell you, I remember, you know, when at the Combine, that's when it was first starting to come out, you know, in media circles that it wouldn't be an NFL team. They were going to do North Carolina, right? Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah,
North Carolina,
yes.
Bill Belichick.
Yes.
And then the kibosh got put on that. Like, no, for some reason, something happened with Belichick or Lombardi, somebody. But anyway, that was going to happen, and then it wound up not happening. But they were pivoting from the NFL because everybody's like, eh, not going to be me, the offseason Hard Knocks.
You get paid for it, I bet. I don't know. Should I know? I bet the team gets paid. Like, Bulldog, is your point is logical, but at the same time, these kind of docu-series, they call them, in sports, are happening more and more often. There's a Red Sox one that's starting now on Netflix where they're embedded with the Red Sox. So I do feel, you know, the success of the F1 series mm-hmm. and golf and tennis have had theirs. I think that's hockey was the winter classic.
I'm not saying they're going away. What I'm saying is it's going to kill it being any good. What happened last year with the Giants? It's going to be less interesting. I have no doubt. I mean, that space is growing in content creation around sports, but teams, leagues, players themselves are going to want to control it much more. And like those F1 things, you know, I bet there's a lot more juicy stuff that happens while those cameras are rolling that gets left on the floor because they're in charge of it.
The Bills also, I don't know if this ends up mattering, but they're really good at keeping, you know, the words right. Like they don't step in it. And Daboll does all the time. Like that was predictable. Maybe the Giants would be a team where that would be, you know, the owner there and everything like that. That's not going to, well, at least in terms of Sean and Brandon here, it's probably not much to worry about. Well, I kind of hope it happens. 1,000th game for Aaron Judge tonight, or right now, actually. I think it just started in Pittsburgh, 4 o'clock.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's a 4 o'clock game. I didn't realize it was a 4 o'clock game.
I think it is.
Against
home
the
opener.
Pirates. Okay, that's why. And no Skeens this weekend against the Yankees, I guess, right? No, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I don't think he's scheduled to pitch tonight or the weekend against the Yankees.
Okay.
1,000 games for Aaron Judge. He's a little, he kind of just came on the scene a little bit older than a lot of these, you know, big-time hitters and big-time players. So, you know, it's interesting. He's 1,000 games now. Real quick, before I go with you guys, next week, going to do our pod with Mike North. I know you guys love that, the schedule. So, here's your chance. You can text me. Think of a question. Mike, last year you gave me a great question. I think it was the Week 18 thing or something like that, and I asked him. So if you have a good question for Mike North this year, he will be appearing on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with Matt Bove and me next week. We're going to be recording that.
Can't wait.
Good to know.
Happy birthday again. Thanks for your time.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, man. You too, Sal. Sal Capaccio on the West Hare Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Let's hear ideas for the first event at the stadium. Like, I don't know. I don't have an idea yet that feels perfect. I mean, a concert can be fine, right? Even great.
But it's one thing to have a concert. Like, someone on the YouTube chat here said, and this sounds correct, I was right. It was Goo Goo Dolls, Bare Naked Ladies, and 10,000 Maniacs played at the arena. That was like the first event at the arena. That's an 18,000 seat arena. That's a good size venue for that show. That right. Show in a 65,000 seat stadium.
No,
this is not going to work. Unless it's just one of these things, like Sal said, people are just going to want to go anyway. So, like, almost whatever it is, like, so maybe that could still work. You know, if there's, it doesn't have to be like Oasis reunion or something. It could be something smaller,
Taylor,
and just have, you know, people are going to want to go just because they want to go check out the stadium.
Yeah. I think it might be better if it's a sporting event, but okay. Lines open for your calls at 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.